Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 39 degrees under fair skies. Today's Tuesday, February 7th, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. A Sitka man died over the weekend after an accident at the city's shooting range. Police say it appears 50-year-old Tony Del Moral was reholstering his handgun when it accidentally discharged. The accident happened around 2:20 p.m. Saturday. Sitka Police Detective Jason Sexton says no one witnessed the accident itself, but the range was busy and bystanders quickly came to Del Moral's aid.
They did that through trying to make 911 phone calls, administering CPR, trying to stop the bleeding, and then in the last attempt, actually loaded him up in a vehicle and drove him back to town as fast as they could while someone was administering CPR. So, you know, all the persons at the scene who were involved made a very valiant attempt to try to save his life.
The truck carrying Del Moral was met by police cars and an ambulance along Halibut Point Road. Sexton says emergency medical crews continued first aid efforts along the roadside, but Del Moral died before he could be transported to the hospital. Tony Del Moral's family say they're thankful to the bystanders and emergency personnel who tried to save his life. They describe Del Moral as a loving husband, father, and coach whose generosity and sense of humor were both limitless. That's where KCAW's Ed Ronco picks up the story.
Tony Del Moral was an active member of St. Gregory's Parish and a longtime youth sports coach in Sitka. He ran an environmental contracting business called TCI and, in his spare time, enjoyed four-wheeling, playing the guitar, and watching science specials on television. But the first thing his daughters will tell you about is his cool factor.
People hung out with us to hang out with our dad.
Like, pretty much.
Was really cool.
He was way more hip than we ever are.
Britt Shimoniak and Lindsay Del Moral say their father was an instant hit with their friends, even at the moments when he made them cringe. Lindsay remembers her father dropping her off at middle school in his work van.
And he pulled up and rolled down the window and was blasting. Just like, I think it was Boston More Than a Feeling, like, and singing really loud and screaming at me and waving at me to have a great day and did I remember my lunch and all of this. Just like I was so horrified that this was my dad and that people were watching me. And everyone else thought it was funny and I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening to me. Like, this is so awful. He loved to do stuff like that.
Britt remembers the time her dad told her the family had won the lottery. She was in the third grade. A junk mail company had sent them a fake ring as part of a sales offer of some sort. And as she's telling the story, she holds up her right hand.
I'm wearing it. It's a several carat CZ.
So how old were you when he did this?
Like fifth grade?
I was in third grade. And my teacher actually called him and told him that I had told the class at show and tell that we won the lottery.
So you bought it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was very convincing.
He also told me that the world was black and white and told Ted Turner invented color.
Yeah.
She bought that, too. Again, Lindsay Del Moral.
He would tell her these things, and then Britt would argue with people about it because it was what my dad said.
And my dad knew everything.
Lindsay and Britt say that behind their father's pranks was a man who was deeply committed to his church, his family, and others. He would give generously when people weren't looking, and he and his wife Angie led marriage preparation classes at St. Gregory's. He also coached youth sports.
And he made us feel like we were amazing athletes, but I think he made everybody on our team feel
yeah.
like that. And he knew how to inspire a group of girls to play together really well,
uh-huh.
and we always had a really good time.
Rafael Antonio Del Moral grew up in eastern Washington State. His daughters say he came to Sitka on vacation with a one-way ticket. He got on a fishing boat for a while and met his wife Angie at St. Gregory's.
They're best friends. They're so in love.
Just, yeah, really, I mean, still. I think they just celebrated their 25th anniversary last June.
Lindsay says while their parents were out to dinner a couple weeks ago, someone else in the restaurant approached their table and asked Angie how long she and Tony had been dating.
She was like, actually, we're married. And they were like, no way, you guys are looking at each other like you're, you know, just started dating, you're so in love. And she was like, yeah, we've been married for 25 years. And they were just so shocked that someone who had been married that long could still look at each other with such, you know, be so in love and just so happy.
Britt says her father was never shy about offering words of love to his family and others in his life.
His death is a reminder, you know, to always tell the people that you love to love them, but mm-hmm. he did such a good job of it that I know he loved me. So like I have a lifetime of him telling me
there
that.
There was never a question of where you stood with him.
Tony Del Moral's funeral is tentatively set for 2:00 Saturday at Centennial Hall. His daughters say it's open to the public and that they've already been overwhelmed by the support shown to the family and the expressions of what their father meant to so many people. This is Ed Ronco in Sitka.
Two Southeast commercial crab fisheries that start up later this month will keep a flexible start date in future years. The state's Board of Fish last month voted down proposals to change to a fixed February starting date for Tanner and Golden King crab fishing. Joe Vicnicki reports.
The Alaska Department of Fish and Game submitted a proposal seeking to go back to a fixed starting date for both crab fisheries. Since 2005, the start of the seasons have been set in February, but have been flexible based on tides and weather. Board member Bill Brown of Juneau summed up discussion from committee work.
Now, industry would like a fixed start date so they can organize their marketing procedure, and I do understand that. But the fishermen are concerned about safety, about losing pots and stuff, and the fishermen want to have not a fixed start date, but a start date based on tides, Mr. Chair.
The starting date in the past 6 years has ranged from February 10th through the 18th based on input from industry and weather delays. Fish and Game's Forrest Bowers said the fixed start date would eliminate negotiations with industry over the best date.
We are able to very simply implement a regulation with a fixed start date. We can also simply implement a regulation that's based on the lowest, you know, tidal range. It's a simple exercise to read the tide book and determine that. But where the difficulty has occurred is when we've attempted to accommodate input from the industry on what that lowest, you know, tidal range really means.
Board members did not support the fixed starting date. Vince Webster of King Salmon wanted a movable start to allow for tides and weather.
I think the department was trying to please everyone, and they got frustrated, and they said, you know, let's just make a fixed date. And if this goes away, I think the department just needs to go back and do exactly what the regulation says and not try to please everyone. And they can put the blame on us. So I'm not going to be in support of this.
The board unanimously voted down that fixed start date of February 15th. They were also unanimous in their support for new language that spells out weather conditions that could delay the season. That was also a department-submitted proposal following several weather delays over the past 4 years. Proposed language allowed for a delay with forecast of gale force winds. The Petersburg Vessel Owners Association suggested including freezing spray warnings as criteria as well. Board member Webster said committee participants had disagreements over the bad weather that could trigger a closure.
The reason no one can agree on the wind speed is because we have different size boats out there. I mean, people have invested big money so they can go out in bad weather. Do we want to make this an equal opportunity, not based on investment, not based on the amount of work that goes into the fishery? I'm not a big fan of that. So I think this is a compromise. It takes safety in consideration.
The board unanimously approved regulation language that allows for a delay with gale force wind warnings of 35 knots and higher, and the board voted down a pot limit reduction for both the crab seasons. This year's Tanner and Golden King crab fisheries both start up February 16th. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.
Alaska's House and Senate have passed bills aimed at easing veterans' chances of getting jobs. The measures direct the state to consider military training and experience when granting professional licenses. Alaska licenses about 40 professions, from barbers to contractors to nurses. House sponsor Bill Thomas, a Haines Republican, says about 1,200 Alaska-based service members leave the military every year, and the unemployment rate among young veterans is about 22%.
Many have already received quality training through the military, and I use an example of mechanics who have the ability to perform the duties and then have to go through the process of getting certified at the local level. And the other one is a plumber who's been in the Navy for 20 years. There's no reason for them to come back and start all over again. It's a way to help them come out, have a job, and go forward.
The bills also tell officials to grant temporary six-month professional licenses to qualified veterans. They also direct the University of Alaska to consider military training and experience as credit toward degrees. House Bill 282 passed without opposition last Wednesday. A similar measure, Senate Bill 150, passed the Senate the same day. Senate sponsor Bill Willikowski, an Anchorage Democrat, says the measure recognizes veterans' knowledge.
There's no special treatment here. What this bill does is it eliminates the need for duplicative education, classes, training. These service members have already received this training. They've already received this education. This will help them more quickly integrate and is very likely to lower the unemployment rate for veterans.
The two bills are very similar, but they have some differences, such as timing and cost. That means the House will have to approve the Senate's version or the other way around. Thomas's House bill has been assigned to one Senate committee, indicating it may be the most likely to pass both chambers first. Alaska's two U.S. senators have introduced a bill that would forbid the Air Force from transferring F-16s from Eielson Air Force Base near Fairbanks. The Air Force last Friday proposed moving its 21 F-16 fighter jets from Eielson Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson in Anchorage in fiscal year 2013, prompting fears the Fairbanks base would be a target for future closure or realignment. So in weather forecast today, calls for decreasing clouds, highs around 47. This is KCAW, Sitka.